Welcome to your doom.
Another visitor. Stay a while. Stay forever.
Őszolgabíró úr, jelentsérék a csárdában vannak.
Kicsodák?
Jelentsérék.
És ti hová mentek? Átak a kurva anyát!
Hey, what's up? This is the Gaming Beast, and let's talk about some stuff. Let's get right into it. What has been going on with the Gaming Beast and with the community and whatever, like, out of my humble viewpoint? First off, what have I been playing? Well, I found this game, Goggle was released, a very obscure PC game, as usual, but it was so obscure even I didn't know about it. Now, I don't know all PC games that ever were released, but I know a fair share amount of them, since I have been into PC gaming since, like, I don't know, 1997, 1996, or even earlier. And I'm not counting, you know, playing on the C64, I'm talking about the IBM-style PC that is, to this day, still used. And which is now just generally confirmed as PC gaming, because back in the day there used to be multiple computers, yada yada, but I'm not going to get into that, because that's a freaking mega tangent. Just like my good old friend the Devil's Advocate would say. So anyway, I've been playing this game. It's called King of the Dragon Pass, and it's a very interesting game, because it seems like it was made by the same guys and a lot of people in the role-playing scene, the tabletop role-playing scene. I'm not talking about... I don't like, really, when people say they're into role-playing games, then most people assume it is either... Usually they assume it's a console RPG. And I don't like that, because role-playing is... Now you have to say tabletop role-playing. Where you should say... I'm into console RPGs, or I'm into PC RPGs. And I know, I talked about this topic a million times, and I'm not going to get into that. But it was basically a lot of people were big-name people were involved in this game. Let me name a few... Anyway, this game plays in the same world as the world of RuneQuest. Is it RuneQuest? And that world is called Glorantha. Or Glorantha? Let me see here. And people who were involved. Okay, guys like David Dunham, Greg Stafford, and Robin D. Laws. Now, I did know Robin D. Laws. He did a lot of game design, a lot of books, a lot of RPG supplements. He also did design a lot of RPGs. I know he did one. The first book I remember was published by Steve Jackson Games, the same guys who were publishing GURPS books, and it's a really good book. It's not just for GURPS, it's just generally role-playing games. It's Robin Law's Rules of Role-Playing. Let me see here. It's also funny because Glorantha, the world, it started out as somebody... It was created by Greg Stafford. And... He also did RuneQuest, and he did first the world of Glorantha because I think he was studying mythology. Let me see here. And it was around 1966, way back, and he did it to understand mythology, like a way to deepen his own mythology. Yes, I'm literally reading parts of the wiki. Whatever. Go cry about it. I don't care. do your own podcast, and then you can do whatever you want. You can do a continuous fart noise for 20 minutes, and that's be the fart podcast. Would probably do well. Anyway, enough of my defensive talk. He did founded Chaosium, which is more known to do the Call of Cthulhu games. And the thing is with RuneQuest, that was the game that is basically introduced a system which is percentile based. Very different from the Dungeons and Dragons set. Also, RuneQuest was set in this, as I said, he started thinking about this world since 1966, and RuneQuest, and there's another role-playing game called HeroQuest. Now, before you say anything, it's not the board game from Milton Bradley. I don't know how it worked with the copyright, because HeroQuest is also I know it as the board game from Steve Jackson. Now, it might be different because I remember there was a problem because HeroQuest was a board game by Steve Jackson. So it might be like okay because it's a board game, and then there's a role-playing game. And let me see here. HeroQuest was released in 2009, and it's also a narrative-based role-playing games, whereas RuneQuest is more a traditional one. But the world it's set in is very unique. It's a fantasy world, all right, but it's very unique and it's very its own thing, because let me see here. Yeah, you see, it has different races than you're usually expecting, and it is the mythology and everything is very nicely built up, and it's very unique. You know, it's hard to explain. You really have to experience it for yourself. And the whole Dragon Pass area apparently was also one of the maps that it was, one of the default settings for adventures. And so there was a game set in the same world, Glorantia, which was made by the same guys, including also a guy like Robin D. Laws, or Robin Laws, whatever. And Robin's Laws of Good Game Mastering. Haha, it's funny. His name is Robin Laws, and he did Robin's Laws of Good Game Mastering. I didn't even know that. And that's a really good book. And it's not just when you're playing GURPS, it's for any role-playing game. It's a very detailed book about, in a sense, I would call it even an essay paper on, well, maybe not that scientific, it's made for players and DMs. And it's a really good book if you're a hardcore role player, if you are just starting, you can learn from it, you know. And there is tips for the game master, like there's, for example, a bunch of different the different types of players. I have talked about the different types of players. Everybody knows, of course, the power gamer. There's also the actor. The power gamer wants to collect a bunch of powers. He calls it the butt kicker, is the one that just wants to let off some steam. The names of the different types of player vary from book to book, but some of them are the same, like power gamer and rules lawyer are the two very negative stereotypes. Another good role-playing book that talks about the types of players and how to deal with them. This one is a really good book too, but if you get on 4th edition, the DM book, the Dungeon Master book for 4th edition, Dungeon Master 1, has a really good section on DMing and including the types of players. And they have their own, and it's pretty much the same types. Some of them have different names, because it's not set in stone, these things, you know. It's like, you know, some of them are pretty much, you know, like the rules lawyer is the guy who wants to have the rules always enforced, even if it's not necessary, and always after the book. And if it's not in the book, it doesn't count, you know. That would be the most extreme rules lawyer. That's what I would call a Nazi rules lawyer who's not. And then there's the rules lawyers that will mention it, but if they don't, you know, they see that the DM is like, yeah, that's fine, we don't have to roll for everything, or I want to do it differently, then, you know, because I was saying the DM is always right, and that's one of my house rules. And the second rule is, if the DM is wrong, go to rule number one. And I know that sounds douchey, but on the other hand, one of my other house rules is, if you can convince me about something, you know, fine, then I will take it in consideration, you know. I take everything in consideration, you know, but... And if it makes sense to me, and if it's, you know, I agree with it, then I will do it that way. And if I make a mistake, then I will make a mistake, and I will live up to it, you know. And that's another one of my house rules. But in order to have a good game going on, you have to also have some control, you know. It's like... You are, in a way, the movie director, if this would be a movie, or you are the boss, you are the guy that is not telling what people to do, but you're enforcing the law, in a sense, you know, you're like Judge Dredd. Sometimes you need to be, you know. with my Skype D&D group, I'm known as the Long Dick of the Law, although not with my current one, because we kind of rebooted the group, and the only... two players that have been coming on a regular basis for my old group is Critical Failure and Retro Kaiser. Not meaning that the other guys like Shintai and Jerry Terrifying wouldn't be interested in coming back. They're just right now, you know, Shintai had played, I think, one game in the new... He just wasn't feeling it, I guess. I don't know. But Shintai was... He's comes almost a lot of games, too. Just in this new campaign, but... Anyway, that's another story for another time. Robin Laws, he was helping with RuneQuest. Not with RuneQuest, with this game, King of the Dragon Pass. And it's a very... The world is very... has a lot of elements of Viking and Celtic myth and setting. And here, magic works kind of differently in many ways. Like... Now, to be honest, I've only experienced the... I've always heard about RuneQuest, but I was like, well, just sounds like another fantasy RPG. What's the point? But there is a lot to it, you know. Chaosium is a big RPG company. They've been around since pretty much the beginning of role-playing with RuneQuest. And they're now more known for Call of Cthulhu, but I believe the system that they use for Call of Cthulhu is the same system. I think it's the basic RPG system, but I might be wrong, because I can't really think about it right now. What is the games? Anyway, so King of the Dragon Pass is a very interesting game. It has elements of obviously role playing, but it plays at first. You will say, "Oh, this plays a lot like a game like Civilization." You have a small clan, like you know, it's a small gathering of people, like a kind of like a Viking clan or like a Celtic clan. And, you know, you are from a kingdom that has been ruled by the tyrannical pharaoh, I guess. I don't know. Somebody doesn't like Egyptian people, I guess. But, and you, and your tribe, well, you're not a tribe yet, you know, you're just a clan. Your clan moves down to the Dragon Pass, which is a pretty dangerous area, because there's also dragons there. And they don't like humans. Humans and dragons don't get along, surprise. Still, I in the game haven't really met dragons yet. But when you create your clan, you actually it's very much the world is very much drenched in mythology, and the gods very much exist. And they're basically talking that there was a time when the gods walked amongst men, and there was this whole time. And so the people were very close, but when you move down to the Dragon Pass, this is like the time when the gods still exist and they can give you favors, but they're more distant. You know, they basically the whole setup that the gods are in their heaven, and but you can do sacrifices to them, and in a sense, you can do like big time spells, cleric spells when you like sacrifice to them, and. It's very cool because you have to do all the managing stuff, like, you know, you have to trade, you have to do diplomacy, there's a little map, there's other clans, and it says there's a bunch of other clans who move down, so you have already friends and foes. You have to... You usually start out... How I do it is easy. And that's when you start with two clans that you're feuding with. And then the other clans are between neutral, or they like you, they have favors for you, or they don't like you so much. And there is a... you can go and raid the other clan, and or you can go and do diplomacy, do alliances, trade. And the cool thing is, you have this part which really reminds me of Civilization, but they did it better in this game, where you have these people, these you know, the ring of government in a sense. Like, you have the royals, and you choose basically the leadership, you know, and there's like, I think, 6 people who you have to put in. And it starts you out with 6 people, but you can always switch the ring of leadership. And then on the very left is always the leader. And there's a, and they have all stats. They have different stats like combat, leadership, bargaining, custom, animal, and plant. I think those are all the skills. And magic, yes. And all these, it's always good to check, because you can check who's the best at which skill, and then put the ones that are best in that leadership ring. But sometimes you want to switch it up, because when you do a sacrifice, you want to have somebody from that, somebody who worshipped that particular god, and because you can, your resources are cattle, food. Your basic resources: cattle, food, magic, and what is it still? And goods. Yeah, goods. Goods includes everything like pots and pans, and also jewelry, and you know, all that kind of stuff. And you have also people that do these things. You have farmers. You have crafters. You have hunters, too, that also provide some food. And you have also soldiers. But you have two kinds. You have the basic footmen, which are, you're just, you know, they just fill out the ranks. They make the main core of your army. But then you have the elite warriors, which are known as the weapon thanes. And they need more food. And they need a horse, too. So you need enough horses. If you want to train new weapon thanes, then you need... for the amount of weapon thanes you want to have, you need a specific number of horses too. They need a horse. They need an extra. They need an extra food. Like the how food is represented is, it's like one unit means one. It's as much food that can feed somebody for a year. You know, so. And also, you have your people as a resource. You know, and that shows you how all. It's that includes all your people. You have your peasants, you know, that's most of your people. Then you have your crafters, your hunters, your footmen, your weapon thanes, and you have also your royals. And the royals are basically the guys that you can choose from. And they're like RPG characters, you know. They have their stats. And their stats can level up too through different ways. You know, they can age and get better and... I think, and they can also, you can also sacrifice. You have different tabs you can choose. What I really like about this, it plays a lot like Civilization. You have to do managing, you have to do working. It's on a smaller scale because you are in this Dragon Pass, but I don't mind that it's a smaller scale. Time goes on, you go from season to season. There is, it's basically like Earth, but they call the season differently, like Sea Season. You have the sacred time, which is when you set your spells that you will have for the year. And according... It depends on... Well, that's not for your temples. That's sacred time. You have so many magic points, and it depends on how many temples you have and how many times you sacrifice and if the gods favor you. Because magic and sacrificing to gods are kind of the same. So the magic that your tribe does and your people do, it's basically all clerical magic. So... The God Seers are kind of like priests that do, like D&D priests, but the magic works differently. It does a lot with, you have to sacrifice, you have to build temples to the gods, you have to do things. Also, certain seasons you cannot raid, and they tell you that this god would be upset if you would be raiding, or this god would be in favor if you would do this or that, or your ancestors, because you have all the different gods that represent the different elements, and like you have a god for plowing, you have a god for war, you have a god for that hates chaos, because chaos is like, it's kind of like the Warhammer chaos, you know, kind of. It's like that's all the monsters. That's like all the demonic monsters. I think also the undead. And there's also the chaotic gods, which are like the evil ones, you know. And you fight a bunch of, you fight also the other clans. They raid you, you raid them. You can, but you also fight inhuman races. Like for example, there's anthropomorphic ducks. You know, it's kind of weird, but you know, that's one of the races they have. And it's kind of funny because I remember the first time I met them, there was just a village of duck people, and I'm like, okay, you know, you have lizard people, you have cat people, I guess. Why not duck people? You know, and and they don't take it very seriously because they're duck people, but the duck people can get really pissed. And the funny shit was, I found this duck village. They're really easy to beat. Like if I wanted, oh, I'm running low on food, I'll raid the duck people, you know, and just kill some of them. And I did this a couple of times, and then there was suddenly a message. The duck people were really pissed, and they got their other beast folk friends to and completely obliterate your town. Your thane, or not their thane, their tan or ton, or I don't know how it's called, but it's like your clan. And yeah, the duck people were friends with other beast folk, including minotaurs and centaurs, and then they just fucking came and like, kicked our ass, and they killed a bunch of my royals, and yeah, and they said, and then the game basically said, you might as well give up the game, you have no chance of winning, but you could still continue on, even though it doesn't make any sense. And I like to give you the option so you can still continue on. So it's really cool because you play this game a lot like Civilization, but you don't progress a year or like hundreds of years. It's on a smaller scale. You progress over a season. So you have the sacred time where you take all the magic points you have, and the more, you know, the more temples you have, you have more magic points, right? But you should always have a reserve because you also can use magic in when you do battle, you know, and they do different kinds. You don't do specific spells or anything. You just set how much magic points you want to use. And then it's very, it just uses different background images and paintings, so it doesn't have really any animation in that sense. But it works really well. Like, it sounds like, ugh, why? No animation. I don't see any people, like little animation of people fighting each other. I don't know. I think it works really well. The art is very excellent. Those are really good artists that worked on that. There's some more famous names than that. I just can't think of any right now. Sea Season is then the first season after you set. And you should always talk. The thing is, the royals, you know, your ring of leadership, you should always click on them and ask what they think you should do. And you shouldn't necessarily do what they say, but they have some good ideas a lot of times, especially when you're starting. You should listen to them. So you set basically where you want to use your spells. Like, you can put magic into diplomacy or into your crops, into your mysteries and whatever. And mysteries are like, the mysteries are the things that you can sacrifice and you can gain. Those are the holy spells that you can sacrifice for. And if you have a temple, then you can do a constant mystery for all the year. But you have to also keep up the temple, you have to sacrifice sheep, cattle, and pigs. Yes, you have also sheep and pigs. And you can also slaughter cattle, sheep, and pigs. Sheep bring almost no food units. Pigs do a little bit more. Cattle do 1-to-1, so they are the best. But you shouldn't slaughter too many cattles because you need a certain amount. Cattle are kind of like your money. And you need also a certain amount of cattle to plow your crops. You know, this sounds very complicated, but if you can play a game like Civilization or Populous or any one of those 4X games, you know, Expand, Explore, Exterminate or something like that. Exterminate. Anyway, so you have the sea season where you're planting, you have the fire season where you can raid, and then in the earth season you harvest. The dark season is winter. And in a sea, fire, and earth season, you can also go do diplomatic missions. But dark season, which is winter, is not good because, you know, there's snow and shit, and Yeah, it's really hard to move around, and it's I never do any moving around. I just do some sacrifices and some other stuff. Like hero quests are another thing, because you have different tabs you can switch through, and when you go to the god and magic tab, you can also sacrifice, but you can also do a quest. And the hero quest is when you basically go into the realm of the gods and you reenact one of the great myths, and you have to then again, like if in the myth the god was there's a myth where one of the gods is defending the great I see what is it? The great house, the great hall of the gods from the evil chaos beasts, you know. And it's a really cool myth because he slays the beast, but he gets chopped up into bits. But he's like the god of the sun, you know. He would be like Apollo, but he's like a Celtic version of Apollo. And you know, and the cool thing is, before you can do a hero quest, you have to actually learn more about the myth. So you have to go and talk to other tribes, you know. And at first, my first game, I didn't know that. And I said, I want to do another hero quest, whatever. And you have to go to your myth tab. You have a separate myth tab, which is kind of like a wiki where you have all the different myths, and you have a lot of things you can read about, also about their law and their culture. It's good to read those too, you know. And I wouldn't say don't start with that, but what I recommend is that when you can also go on a diplomatic mission, and you can ask for things like food and magic and cattle. You can also give them a gift, you know, which will make them happy. You can also ask for a favor because they owe you favor, but you owe them favors too. And you can also ask for information. And there's different things you can ask for, like who would be an enemy or stuff. But one of the things I always ask for is, do you know a specific myth that we don't know yet? You know, and if they're, you know, especially if they're allied with or in your tribe or something, you know, they will have, you know, if they have a good disposition for you. Or you can also use different mysteries. There's this one, Isiares, the god of knowledge, kind of. You can sacrifice to him, and then you can get like Silver Tongue, where you can diplomatic missions will go easier. You have a higher chance of succeeding. There's also one for trading that you will get more stuff out of, you know. And Silver Tongue is good then for that, because then you have a higher chance of gaining the information that you want. And the different hero quests, they are basically for the different gods, it's different things, and they can do different, you know, you can gain different things out of them. You can maybe gain a magical artifact, or you could gain a herd of cattle. The people, definitely your reputation will be heightened. You know, people will respect you because you honor the gods, because you basically it's kind of funny, you did a holy LARP, but a LARP in the realm of the gods, where you can die and or just get lost. And a lot of times these the royals, you have to always send one of your characters that is also, you know, and the computer, it chooses the best possible one, because you know you want to have high stats. That character, the computer will choose one that is best suited usually, but you can change that. And a lot of times it will help a lot if that character is already a follower of that particular god for that myth, you know, for that specific myth. And it's really cool. There's a lot of elements to it. And as you're doing all these things, now you say, okay, fine, it's kind of like Civilization. Why would I want to play this? Because a lot of times you were just doing all the management, the diplomacy. Even when you do the diplomacy, there's a lot of stuff that can happen. A lot of random shit can happen. It's kind of like they compared it to a choose your own adventure game where, you know, you just, you know, go through the seasons, you do your stuff, and then suddenly somebody, there is a woman who's coming who says, "Oh, I have raised this kid in a shield because I wanted him to be a warrior, and but I wouldn't be a good mother." And then you can ask your ring of leadership what they think, and everybody will think differently. The war guy usually he's like Worf, he's like, "We gotta do this, we gotta kill him, we can't trust him." And then you have the person who is the best at magic, the sorceress or priestess or whatever, or the priest, he's like, "We should sacrifice to the gods, we should do a divination, or we shouldn't trust them." But you can always choose, you always decide, and there's a lot of options you can do. And there's not a right or wrong option where it is in a lot of RPG games, where there's like the basically the bipolar option. You have one or the other side. Here there's a bunch of different options and very subtle differences. And for example, one guy in your ring of leadership was said, will say, you know, I think I can argue the guy, like, I don't know, there's a guy who says, your weapon thanes, they get pissed, like, oh, we don't have enough warriors, or they or the stupid peasants disrespect us. And then your guy who is the best at bargaining is saying, ah, I feel like bargaining. I will bargain the guy. I will convince the guy that he will stop it. So it's not like there's always a right choice, you know, because it also depends on the skill of your person. And it, there's always a chance of failing. Even if they're really high in bargaining, they could fail. So it's always there's always a random element. So that's what makes it more like a role-playing game. In a sense, it's kind of like an adventure game, but also a role-playing game, because there's not one right way. There's multiple right way, you know. I remember there was also a woman who apparently was doing these curses to your village. Like, she was apparently summoning these disease spirits, and your village was getting sick. And you can be like, we're just going to banish her and then kill her. Or you can say, we're going to bring these priestesses of the healing goddess, and she will heal her of her affliction. Actually, it's funny, in the last game I did first the healing goddess, and then she did it again, and one of my leader, the guy with leadership, said she did it once, and now the people want her dead. There's also like stuff like some really funny stuff too, like one guy, he got disrespected by this guy from the other clan. There's a lot of like respect and disrespect stuff, like, you know, it's like, and he wanted to do a duel, but his wife took a pot and whacked it over his head, you know, and so funny also. And there was also this one where this duck came from the eastern lands, you know, from this eastern duck land, and he said that the undead are rising and stuff, and we should help them. And you can be like, stupid duck, go and fuck yourself. Or you could say, convince the other clans, stop raiding the duck people so they can defend the people. Or you can send some soldiers, or you can send sacrifice to the god of death, who hates the undead because they're basically cheating death. They're an abomination to Humank, that's his name. Really cool stuff, you know, and there's a bunch of stuff. Like, there's one where it was just random. I found a head, the skull of a triceratops head, and he says, it's a weird skull of a dragon creature. And I said, put it on my clan guild's house. And then they said, people started now thinking that you're in cahoots with the dragons, which is not a good thing. But it can be a good thing if you manage. It's really cool because apparently there's like over 450 random things that can happen, which is really cool, because I've seen, like, I'm playing it the third time. It's a challenging game though, you know, like, if you never play this type of game, I would say go on GOG, buy it, then read the tutorial, which is in the manual, and follow the tutorial game, and, you know, do it step by step, and then you will learn the game, and then start a game from new, or just finish the tutorial game, and then go from there, because it's a very cool game. It's challenging, but it's really fun, because when you finish the game, also when you failed, because there's like two basic quests. One is the so-called short game, the other one is the long game. The short game says your goals are, you have to do three hero quests, you have to unite a bunch of different clans and create a tribe, which I did succeed in already once. Then you have to choose a king, usually from your round, something. And when you choose the king, that king must be king for 10 years, and you have to do three hero quests, and then you succeeded. I succeeded in doing three hero quests, but I mismanaged my economy, and I was always running low on food, because I should have done more sacrifices, and I should have done it better. And it was a war tribe, so maybe I should have done more raiding. I'm not sure what I did. I failed. And basically, in the end, a lot of times, there's different negative endings too, and they said, our clan won't be remembered only for being basically failures and stuff. And then when you finish the game, I'm sure there's also a victory screen when you win and stuff, and also multiple ones where, and basically, that's the short game. You have to be king for 10 years for the tribe, for this tribe. and do 3 hero quests, you know, because that's the glory, you know. And then the long game is you make a tribe, become king, then unite all the different tribes in the game, in the Dragon Pass that are there, and then become the High King of the Dragon Pass. And I can imagine that will take much longer, because even just doing one tribe is a pain already, because I had to go to the different tribes, and they wanted all kinds of stuff. One tribe was completely obsessed with doing pots. And one of their terms was, only their pots could be sold. I'm serious. This was one of the things. There was a tribe that had great cooks. They said, oh, we don't want to send so much soldiers because we don't have so much soldiers. And then I asked, but you have to be the cooks of the tribe, you know, and you have to sell your stuff. And they said, okay, but they want that we go out, send out people exploring to collect spices and shit like that. You know, it's crazy. And there was this other tribe that had this magical holy stone which helped them in battle. And the tribe should sacrifice, I don't know, a certain amount of cows every year. And you can give them these things. And you can also try, and you can also just stop the negotiations. It feels really like diplomacy, whereas in Civilization is good with the diplomacy, it works, but I just feel it's a little bit, I'm not simplified. I like the Civilization is a very good game. Without Civilization, games like Dragon Pass wouldn't come out, because this game came out in 99, you know. But I think this game, if you're like into role-playing, I'm sure if you're into RuneQuest or HeroQuest, the RPG, not the board game, then you know about this game. And if you don't, you should. If you love the world of Glorantha, you need to play this game. Like, I don't know what you're waiting for. You know, I mean, I'm sure you should know it. You know, I mean, this is a game that feels like a game made by hardcore role-players. You know, it's like, I mean, it's not a role-playing game per se, but, you know, if they would make a role-playing game, it would be probably pretty awesome, because this is not just about going in a dungeon and stuff. This is about managing a tribe and, like, managing a clan and people in a tough fantasy world, which is different. It's very not Tolkien, you know. Like, you don't have any orcs. You do have elves, but they're very, they're more like plant people, to be honest. I've only seen them once. I've seen them a couple of times. I've heard them mentioned a lot. I've fought against them once, but they're all about the fucking trees. I mean, you know, there's the wood elves, you know, but they're like the hardcore wood elves. They're like, you know, the freaking ultra hard orthodox Greenpeace. Like, they hate the fleshies, you know. They hate those, you know. I think they're dwarves, but they're very different too. But there's no orcs, and most of it is like humans, and you have duck people, I guess. You have the beast people. You have also werewolves, which are more like a tribe, you know, they wander around with the tribe. And you have also, of course, the chaos beings and stuff. It's if you see the game, it will feel very fresh and new. If you have played a lot of these games, you know, either RPGs or strategy games, turn-based strategy games set in fantasy settings. This one is a very unique one, so I would recommend that to anyone who is into that stuff. What else can I say about this? Nothing too much. Just I'm going to leave a description for the website in GOG. You should get this game. I love the music, is very good. It has this kind of Celtic, Irish feeling, but feels also very unique and very, very nice to listen to. I would hum to it. Also, when you get the GOG version, not only do you get the game, the manual in PDF form, you also get a nice game reference card, which really helped me in the beginning of the game. It tells you all about, like, for example, the basics of the gods. And here's like a simple list: the gods and their blessings, and it just lists all the different gods and their blessings that they can give you. And I don't explain them, but a lot of them you can, you know, obviously just think, you know, you can basically know them, but it's all explained in the manual another time, and also in the game, when you just hover above it, it explains it one more time. So the game is very well designed. This is a game that has been designed to perfection, you know, like it's really rare, a game like that. You know, like the other game, it's not the exact same thing. It's actually pretty different, but I guess you're also a king. But just the level of design and awesome for a PC game of that style would be Majesty. Majesty is different because that one is more graphical and it's more like a real-time strategy game. But just the level of the love that they put in. I know it sounds cheesy, but like the just the effort that they have put in into this game. And same with this game. You know, it was people that were really into this and they really enjoyed doing this and they probably enjoyed playing it too. You know, so this reference sheet is really cool. It also explains to you the game screen in a high detail, but very, you know, very simple too. So I would recommend check the reference screen. The manual is really good too. It has a nice tutorial. It has also a mini tutorial. It says, if you're one of those guys that doesn't read manuals, then at least read this. And it tells you just the very basics really quickly, which is, I would recommend you do that. Because if there's when you start the game, there's new game, restore game, and tutorial. And the tutorial, it's not like a tutorial what you're expecting. You start the game, and the tutorial is in the manual. They don't do the tutorial explanation in the game. You have to actually play the game and do the manual, which is a little bit of an old thing that is doesn't age well. But I think my Critical Failure told me that's the same how it is in Hearts of Iron, which is a much more complex game in many ways, but different too. Yes, they're strategy, but very different beasts, very different setting. You know, one is World War II, realistic World War II. The other is fantasy. But whatever, it has. At first, it looks also a lot. This could be very easily a historically themed game. You know, like you take out the dragons, the trolls, and stuff, and just name the different places. Like this is Ireland or Scotland or something, and you could set it into a historical setting. Like honestly, I could see this game done in a historical setting with, like, I would say in the time of the Romans and the Scots, and the Scots are fleeing from the Roman, or like the, not the, they wouldn't flee from the Romans, they would be fighting because they were never taken over. Something like that, and Vikings or something. Anyway, so as I said before, this could be set in a historical setting and it would be just as good. I wouldn't say better because I really enjoy the fantasy elements of it and it's a nice spice to it. And I love, it's just a good game, so there's not much more I can add to this. You should go out and get it, especially if you're into PC gaming, if you're into like role-playing, if you're a fan of Chaosium, if you're a fan of RuneScape, not RuneScape, RuneQuest, nothing to do with RuneScape, bah. RuneQuest, there we go. Anyway, what's else new? I've been, basically that's the episode, but let's still talk about something else. I don't know. Movie-wise, not much going on. There's, you know, announcing some things about the Arrow series, but it's just going to be lame. They're going to have, Black Canary in it, but she's not going to have her powers, so I don't see what's the point. You know, it's just so stupid when they limit each other. You can't do, like, a Dark Knight Nolan thing with everything, you know, it's just, especially DC Universe. I mean, it's one of the silliest universes ever. I mean, that's what's kind of cool about it. Just like with the Marvel Universe. Like, Marvel Studios has known that. But I talked about this a million times. So, we'll see with this series. I don't think it's going to be good. I don't know. Marvel now, it's like their version of 52. New 52. It's Marvel now. They have announced the full roster of the new Avengers. Apparently Cannonball is going to be in the new Avengers, which is kind of weird because he's a new warrior. Didn't he die within the whole Civil War? But it really doesn't matter because they just can bring them back whenever. Let me see who's in the new lineup. Warner Brothers released the Shazam series, you know, the old Captain Marvel series. Not that big fan of that, so I don't really care. Although I remember a movie was announced starring The Rock, you know, like, what's The Rock's name? What's his name? What's his freaking name? I can't think of it. That's a lot of things. Sorry, I'm just doing the wiki magic again. Whatever. Multiple names. So. Dwayne Johnson. There we go. Dwayne Johnson. Yes. Dwayne Johnson. Way back was in talks for playing Captain Marvel. Then he was in talks to playing. Captain Marvel. Who's the villain who's like basically Captain Marvel in black? What is his name? He looks like his costume is the same thing, lightning bolt, just without a cape, and instead of red it's black. Is Captain Marvel. I can't think of it right now. Oh well. He was supposed to play the other evil Captain Marvel character, whatever, or Captain Marvel. Nothing happened with that. There was talks about it, but it never gain any fruition. Of course, DC, you're just teasing us. It was just another Batman movie. Then, as you know, there was once a project. I mean, never again died in development hell was Lobo movie. I think it back in 2007 or something. Guy Ritchie was supposed to direct. Then he decided to do the Sherlock Holmes movie, and. Now, apparently, Rock tweeted that he might become the Lobo. I'm not sure about that. Lobo, he doesn't have the look right for Lobo. Like, he's been doing all these family comedies nowadays. Like, you know, he used to do action movies. Now he does all these family comedies or, like, these kids' movies. And now he's supposed to be Lobo. Like, Lobo's a very dark, very, very... black humor character, you know, he's basically the Deadpool of DC Comics, and I actually read that he is Stan Lee's favorite character, apparently, which I think is freaking awesome. So, yeah, Lobo is freaking awesome. He like, all the DC characters, they're so straight-edge, straight-arrowed characters in many ways, but Lobo is, like, the big freaking exception, you know, He's pretty much the Deadpool of DC Comics, the closest thing. And, yeah, apparently he might become Lobo, but at this point it's a rumor, and he might be just in talks because he just tweeted something. There's another rumor that Vin Diesel will become Vision, and, well, he would like to be Vision, I guess, because, you know, they wanted one of that cat. But he's a nerd, he's a big nerd, I think that would be cool. Dwayne Johnson being Lobo, I mean, he has the physical strength, you know, but he's kind of balding. I think, well, that's not such a big deal. I think he could do the whole cocky attitude of Lobo. Maybe a wrestler is a good idea, but there was this one guy who played Lobo in this fan film, and it was based on the paramilitary Christmas special where Lobo kills Santa Claus for the Easter Bunny signs Lobo to kill Santa Claus. And it's a pretty funny comic, you know, it's very satirical, it's pretty damn funny. It was one of the more known stories of Lobo, and they did a fan film based on that, and there was this actor in it, and he did a great job of portraying Lobo. And I think, I know he's an unknown actor for the most part. Let me see what's his name? 2002, Scott Leberecht directed the film adaptation, and it was just a, It was part of the American Film Institute's director study program. And it was done really well. Like, the makeup for Lobo looked really cool. Like, he looked like freaking Lobo. And it was made on a really minuscule budget in comparison. It was $2,400. And there was a lot of professionals in the industry who donated time and effort. Andrew Biernarski, who played Lobo in this movie, and he should totally play Lobo. He's best known. He's an actor and a former bodybuilder, so he's an actor, and he played Lobo really well. And he has, you know, Lobo's like most superheroes are, you know, insanely buff, and Lobo is extremely buff, you know, and he could do that. They could do that with him. And he's also apparently a former bodybuilder, so that helps. And he's also, he's mostly known for portraying apparently Leatherface in the remake of Texas Chainsaw Massacre, which I didn't see yet. I didn't see the old one or the remake. So, and also in the prequel for the remake, I'm guessing. And Zangief, wait, he played Zangief in Street Fighter? Oh, frick, yeah. Zangief was the favorite. Freaking awesome. I mean, he played Zangief perfectly. Like, this guy should be Lobo. He played in a bunch of different movies. He was apparently also in Firefly, TV series, a couple of movies. He was in Cyborg 3, which is a really weird series. I've seen Cyborg 1. That's with Jean-Claude Van Damme. It's this weird post-apocalyptical movie. And then you have the sequel with Angelina Jolie, which has almost nothing to do, but apparently it is a sequel because they have a flashback in that. So it's in the same world, but in years afterwards. Apparently it was also in Hudson Hawk, like, yeah, but, you know, he's not that known, but, you know, I'd rather have somebody who actually, he wants to play him, he likes to carry, I mean, who wouldn't? And he would do a great job, you know, and this could be a big career push for him, you know, like, and they have to do it in the next years before he gets too old for the role, you know, like, because who knows if the movie is good, then it could be a sequel, there could be even a crossover, and I'm just imagining things, you know, before we see a Lobo in a Justice League or in some kind of, or more appropriately, if they would make a Legion movie with Lobo or a Justice League International. Well, fuck that. They can't even get a Justice League of America movie. When are they going to get an international movie? I'm just imagining things. Like, unless, you know, if it would be Marvel doing that, they would be on that shit already. They would be playing that shit. It would be maybe a years off, but they would be playing that shit and doing it. I mean, if Marvel would have all their rights, you know, they would be planning Civil War. And they would be planning X-Men in Avengers. You know, you would see a freaking, what is it, Beast in one of the Avenger movies. You would see whatever, Tony Stark pop up in one of the Fantastic Four movies. It would be awesome. And maybe one day it will be that way, but not right now. But Andrew Biernarski, he should play Lobo. And I can't think of anybody famous who would be good. Let me know if there's a wrestler or a actor in general who could portray Lobo also in looks and also in acting ability, then that would be freaking awesome. I can recommend also that fan film. Other than that, what do we have? Yeah, the new Avengers lineup. The cover looks kind of weird too for the new Avengers. I mean, it looks better than the other Marvel Now stuff, but, and there's this one where Thor stands in this really weird position, and it's just kind of weird, but it looks better than the other new 52 stuff. Who is the people in it? Let me see here. Okay, this is the setup. This is now the official setup for Avengers. The new Avengers. It's Captain America, obviously. Then we have Captain Marvel. The Marvel Captain Marvel. or he's called Marvel or whatever, who's from outer space, and Cannonball, who can he can do kind of a rocket thing with his legs, which is, I always liked that. That was really cool. Like, he becomes literally a cannonball in a sense. The Hulk, which is cool. The Wolverine, which is, you know, a no-brainer. They had him already since the Outbreak, when all the villains came out of the Outbreak, when they kind of remade the Avengers. It's good idea. Black Widow, Falcon, you know, he's a mainstay, Falcon, you know. He's like, Falcon by itself, you know, like, Falcon, whatever. Black Captain America, but Falcon, he's like a guy, he always pops up, and he's one of the in the Captain America family of characters, you know, and it's a good thing that he's now, he's been always very loyal to Captain America and stuff, so he deserves a spot on the Avengers, definitely. Thor, of course, we have Sunspot, another new warrior with Cannonball. He changes into literally a sunspot, like his whole body becomes like black, you know, not like that, you know, literally black, and he becomes like really strong and really powerful. I always liked it as a kid. Iron Man, of course, you gotta have Iron Man. His new armor looks weird. It's like black and gold now, but you know, it doesn't look bad. I mean, it is Iron Man. He can switch armor every episode, every issue, and it wouldn't be a big surprise. Of course, Spider-Man. Now Spider-Man is like a big... It's kind of weird because he was for a time now part of the Fantastic Four, or how they were known, the Future Foundation, but I think not anymore. But he's been now with the Avengers for a long time, you know, and Spider-Man has been known to be a solo guy for a really long time. Like, there was some what-if stories, what if Spider-Man was in the Fantastic Four, and that was like, Spider-Man in a group, that's weird. Like, he will fight with the Fantastic Four, or the X-Men, or Avengers for a short period, but then he's like, I gotta go and help Aunt May, or shit like that, you know, but I don't know if his secret identity is still known, or if they retconned that already, but whatever. Spider-Woman, of course, she's also a mainstay. We got Hawkeye, we got Hawkeye, and apparently there's one mystery guest, and some people are asking, who is it? Is it Ant-Man? If they're gonna do an Ant-Man movie and put him in the next Avengers, then they should put him in the new group eventually, again, but I don't know. Anyway, nothing more I can talk about right now. I made a new Virtual Warriors fight, Terminator versus Alien, or Alien versus Terminator. You should check it out. I think it's, you know, people have been saying good things about it. Go and check it out. You know, maybe you like it. It's there's some Beast Bar animation where I have a cartoon version of myself talking with Arnie. It's pretty cool. More videos coming in the future, but, you know, right now there's going to be a little bit fewer videos, but you'll see. I'm going to try to keep videos going, but other stuff, I put up a video of CF, it was Left 4 Dead 2 gameplay we did together and recorded it. It was a kind of a mod thing. And yeah, other than that, what can I think? Also check out, of course, Michael Smith, Michael's retro review stuff. That's pretty cool. I always like his stuff, so you should go and check it out. Also his podcast. Of course, Retro Kaiser, Jerry Terrifying, Mondo Cool Cast. Jerry Terrifying, Mondo Cool Cast, Mondo Cool Monthly. Go and buy that shit. It's good stuff. His new one, I'm going to buy it. Looks cool. He's going to talk about Metal Gear Solid, of course. That's one of his favorite topics. So, also, apparently, some reviews of some animated series and stuff. Yeah, also Shinen Boss. Check out Shinen Boss. I talked to them in the last episode. Shintai and the Boss Man with one S. it was really fun. Probably going to do it one again sometime. But yeah, that's pretty much all for now. And may the Death Mug of Doom be with you. And talk to you later.